This morning, I'm joining thousands of fellow clergy, ministers of many Christian denominations, Unitarian Universalist ministers, and rabbis in celebrating one of the most important scientific discoveries ever made, biological evolution. In so doing, we are also celebrating the life and the work of Charles Darwin, who was born 206 years ago, on February 12th, 1809. Many of us clergy regularly designate a Saturday or a Sunday or a weekend as Evolution Sunday or Evolution Weekend. And so today, for us, this is Evolution Sunday. Here is an excerpt from a public letter that I and 232 other Unitarian Universalist clergy have signed in response to the insistence of some fundamentalist Christians that so-called creation science be taught alongside evolution in public school science classes. Similar letters to this one have been also signed by Christian and Jewish clergy. So here's part of the letter. While most Unitarian Universalists believe that many sacred scriptures convey timeless truths about humans and our relationship to the sacred, we stand in solidarity with our Christian and Jewish brothers and sisters who do not read the Bible literally, as they would a science textbook. We believe that religious truth is of a different order from scientific truth. Its purpose is not to convey scientific information, but to transform hearts. Fundamentalists of various traditions who perceive the science of evolution to be in conflict with their personal religious beliefs are seeking to influence public school boards to authorize the teaching of creationism. We see this as a breach in the separation of church and state. Those who believe in a literal interpretation of the biblical account of creation are free to teach their perspective in their homes, religious institutions, and parochial schools. To teach it in the public schools would be to assert a particular religious perspective in an environment which is supposed to be free of such indoctrination. We, the undersigned Unitarian Universalist clergy, believe that the timeless truths of the Bible and other scriptures may comfortably coexist with the discoveries of modern science. We believe that the theory of evolution is a foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to rigorous scrutiny and upon which much of human knowledge and achievement rests. To reject this truth or to treat it as one theory among many, among others, is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. We urge school board members to preserve the integrity of the science curriculum by affirming the teaching of evolution as a core component of human knowledge. We ask that science remain science and that religion remain religion, two very different but complementary forms of truth. Now, we all signed this letter, of course, against the backdrop of what has happened in the years since Darwin published the theory of evolution in his seminal work, The Origin of Species, in 1859. You all know what a firestorm that work set off among certain religious believers, a storm of ignorance and religious literalism that continues to this day and has ended up being debated in courtrooms as the believers have tried to remove the teaching of evolution from classrooms or tried to insist that their own beliefs be taught alongside evolution in science classes. The slow process of change in species, working through mutations and the selection of those traits that are the most adaptable to survival, takes millions upon millions of years, as you know. But since the Hebrew scriptures say that God took 6 days to create our world, complete with all its creatures and with humans as finished products, there have been people who could not accept Darwin's science. There has also been discomfort with the idea, this is an interesting discomfort, that mutations that arise are random, which some believers have said implies, therefore, there's no design in the universe if these mutations arise randomly, and therefore, no designer. Although it is not really necessary to come to the conclusion that because the mutations that drive evolution arise randomly, there is no God. That is not necessarily a conclusion that is drawn from this idea of random mutations. In my grade school years, when I was a young Catholic, I remember spending time on Saturdays sitting in church pews in line for the dreaded confession booth, thinking up sins to confess. Sometimes I almost had to make them up or exaggerate a little to have something to say. Sometimes I also found myself thinking about questions I wanted to ask the priest when I got in that booth. One time I remember when I was about 9 or 10 or so, I asked the priest how it was possible for the whole universe to have been created in 6 days, as it says in the Bible, when we know and learn in school, and I went to public school, that it took a long, long time for the earth to be born, and another very long time for animals to evolve, and still many millions more years for us humans to appear. Well, the particular priest that I went to in that dark confession booth was not bothered by this question. And he took the time to explain that the 6 days in the Bible doesn't necessarily have to be seen as literally only 6 days. Those 6 days of creation were really many millions of years. So he said, the evolution I learned about in school is not wrong, and the Bible is not wrong. Being of a scientific bent of mind and being willing to look at the Bible as symbolic, I was very happy with this answer. I suspected that probably not all the priests I could have chosen to go to with that question would have given me that comforting answer, which is why I chose that priest, even though he was the one who had the longest lines waiting to see him. We all knew that he was the one who went easy on us when we confessed our sins. He avoided lecturing us, and he gave us fewer Hail Marys and other prayers to do as penance. It surprises me, I can't wrap my mind around this, that there are so many people today who are not satisfied with an answer like the one I got as a child. They never could comfortably reconcile their religious faith with the discoveries of science, especially the discovery of evolution and the many discoveries in my favorite field, astronomy, which tells us that the Earth is some 4.5 billion years old. I've seen various recent polls of American public opinion indicating that somewhere from 1/3 to 1/2 of Americans believe that God created human beings pretty much in their present form within the last 10,000 years. And about 1/3 believe that evolution is just one among many explanations for the origin and development of life. Many who call themselves creationists, who insist on biblical inerrancy and literalism, have tried to use science to discredit the theory of biological evolution as well as cosmic evolution. The problem is they start from a very unscientific premise. They start with their religious belief and then use dubious science to try to shore it up. Recently, I found a website about the age of the Earth, in which a scientist debunks one by one the arguments that the pseudoscience called creation science has put forth to prove that the earth is only a few thousand years old, which would be in keeping with biblical accounts. In more recent years, the term intelligent design is used for this pseudoscience. But this is really creation science under a new name, in disguise, because it was discredited as creation science. Now it's discredited as intelligent design science. Some of these creation science proponents grab onto the word theory when speaking of the theory of evolution, using the word in its popular sense as perhaps basically a guess or a hunch. So they demote evolution to being just one theory among other possible explanations for the same phenomena. But as the word is used in science, a theory is an idea that has been tested repeatedly, so it has a high degree of credibility to merit the term theory. And in the case of the theory of evolution, whose mechanisms have been understood and described more and more fully over the decades since Darwin, especially since the discovery of DNA, scientists have come close to calling evolution by natural selection a fact. But as one college science professor once explained to our class, the approach of science is to maintain always an open mind, even to those facts that science discovers. They may not be the whole truth. He used the analogy of scientists reaching into a covered cage, I'll never forget this visual image, and feeling something inside the cage, something that may feel warm and soft, that seems to have the characteristics, say, of a lion. The scientist, in his or her humility, will say that the characteristics may seem to be those of a lion, but will stop short of proclaiming for all time that there is a lion underneath the cover in that cage. The psychologist and anthropologist Ashley Montague once summed up the difference in approach between science and the pseudoscience of creationism this way. Science has proofs without any certainty. Creationists have certainty without any proof. It is the humility, the openness, and the questioning spirit of the scientific quest that attracts me to the sciences. This kind of attitude also first attracted me to our Unitarian Universalist faith. We Unitarian Universalists are like scientists of religion, in a sense, approaching the great questions of faith with humility and with an open mind when we are at our best, willing to live with some uncertainty, willing to tolerate ambiguity, willing to acknowledge that, in fact, as our hymn says it, life is a riddle and a mystery. We are willing to glean from a great variety of religions some glimpses of light, without needing to see their more dogmatic positions or their fascinating stories and myths as literal truths. It is the open quest for truth and meaning that inspires my faith and likewise fuels my interest in what science explores and discovers. As the astronomer Timothy Ferris once said, hell would be a small universe that we could explore thoroughly and fully comprehend. That would certainly be hell to me, to have all of the vexing questions of existence answered completely, once and for all, with no room for doubt. Our universe is not so small and is not so easily understood as the creationists would have us believe. A sense of awe before the mysteries of life, combined with the wonder I feel when I contemplate what science has told us so far about the nature of the universe we live in, how breathtakingly beautiful, how wonderfully diverse, how unimaginably large, and how amazingly old it is. All this inspires both a religious reverence and a scientific curiosity in me. Although for some, The randomness or spontaneity of mutations is seen as a threat to their faith. This idea captures my religious imagination. The universe in its evolutionary process gave birth to life, and over eons of spontaneous mutations, some of which turn out to be useful and are naturally selected as better adapted to the environment. This is how science describes what's happening. This amazing process has resulted in the astounding complexity and diversity that we see around us. And it has led us to be who we are, beings who can wonder at all of it, who have brains that can try to figure it out, who have hearts to love with, and imaginations to tell poetic stories about it. Well, for me, the very fact that we are here and can contemplate it all is quite miraculous and deserving of reverence. And in this great life adventure that we are on, we will continue to evolve into as yet unimagined forms. In a universe that is open and not predetermined. Personally, I find a universe of chance mutations and open possibilities much more exciting and awe-inspiring than one that is subject to a direction that has been predetermined by a deity. I would agree with UU process theologian Bernie Loomer, who says that the old idea of God as an omnipotent being who determines all that happens, that God, is just too small. Charles Darwin, who himself came from a Unitarian family and who was humble about his discoveries and willing to be proven wrong if the evidence could show any errors, once said in a note to writer John Fordyce, and here he uses the traditional language of his day, "It seems to me absurd to doubt that a man may be an ardent theist and an evolutionist. Whether a man deserves to be called a theist depends on the definition of the term, which is much too large a subject for a note. In my most extreme fluctuations, I have never been an atheist in the sense of denying the existence of a God." Darwin called himself an agnostic, but his work was accepted by many clergy and religious people of his day who were theists, who believed in God, though their God was significantly different from the God of most traditional, more traditional believers. As is apparent in his writings, Darwin maintained his own sense of wonder at a universe that could give birth to so many new and ever more complex forms of life. Here again are Darwin's own words. "There is a grandeur in this view of life, with its several powers, having been originally breathed into new forms or into one, and that whilst this planet has gone cycling, according to the fixed law of gravity, from so simple a beginning, endless forms, most beautiful and most wonderful, have been and are being evolved." Many creationists object to the idea that we evolved from so-called lower mammals. For them, it means that we're not a special creation, unique and apart. But for many of us, this scientific idea resonates deeply with our spiritual understandings, that we are intimately connected with the natural world, that we and other primates descend from a common ancestor who descends in turn from earlier mammals, who arose from warm-blooded reptiles, who came from the creatures of the sea, who in turn came from single-celled organisms, and much further back, who arose from the heavier elements created during stellar explosions. This great story of cosmic and biological evolution, all that has given us birth, all that has led up to us here and now, is a miracle. And this great cosmic story continues. What biblical literalists seem to have trouble with is the idea that when it comes to the Bible, metaphor and poetry can illuminate deeper meanings, while a literal interpretation only gives a one-dimensional picture. Actually, some people who are at the opposite end, who are secularists with no spiritual vision, also read the Bible literally and simply reject scriptures and religious stories as nonsense. They too, I believe, are missing something of value in religious myth and story. The biblical scholar Marcus Borg, who died recently, quoted a Native American who, before telling a traditional tale, said, "I don't know if the story actually happened, but I know it is true." I once read of a child who said that a myth, a fairy tale, is a story that is true on the inside. What a wise perception. A story can contain deep truth without having actually happened. And how liberating it can be to see the rich myths and stories of the Bible and the scriptures of other great world religions with the eyes of a poet instead of a literalist. Just as mainline Christianity, after struggling against Copernicus and Galileo and Darwin, eventually came to accept the discoveries of science without having to toss out their faith, someday, perhaps, the creationists will come around and understand how much grander, how much more amazing and wondrous is the universe that science describes, and how much richer and more meaningful their own stories can be when they are seen with new eyes. In the meantime, I proudly join my colleagues, the Unitarian Universalists, the Christians, and the Jews, who sign their respective versions of this clergy letter, in opposing the teaching of religion in public schools and in honoring Charles Darwin and the discoveries of science and what these have contributed to our knowledge and understanding and our personal spiritual journeys. I close with the words of artist Mary Southard. How important it is that we learn the sacred story of our evolutionary universe, just as we have learned our cultural religious stories. Each day we will begin to do what humans do best: be amazed, be filled with reverence, contemplate, fall in love, be entranced by the wonder of the universe, the uniqueness of each being, the beauty of creation, the new revelation each day, and the divine presence with all.